Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
He can go about his business.
You can go about your business.
Move along.
Move along. Move along.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Of course, you know that clip from Star Wars, but is that the original source? Did George Lucas just pull that out of his imagination? Think about Obi-Wan Kenobi's outfit, and Neo's from The Matrix, and Christian Bale's getup from Equilibrium. Kinda similar, aren't they? Robes, clerical, like a monk or a friar. That look is as deliberate as it is unmistakable. All those writers taking their cues from real guys throughout many ages and places all over the world. And their abilities in everything are inarguably supernatural. What those guys do is a quantum leap from what Batman or Conan or Iron Man can do, isn't it? And not one of them is muscle-bound or armor-plated or imbued with a nuclear heart or some goofy superpower like elasticity or invisibility. What those characters really are is Hollywood versions of warrior monks. Those guys have been around for centuries, and their powers and exploits are the stuff of legend. From the Knights Templar to the Yamabushi, the Shaolin, hell, even one big bearded dude who predated most of them, the guy who waded into a temple with nothing but a rope whip he braided himself. And he cleaned fucking house. This is something I'd more likely discuss in an episode of Sinner's Sunday, but to leave it unsaid here would be negligent. Whatever your chosen god flavor, you've doubtless heard the story of JC visiting the temple and finding it crawling with two-legged bacteria. Money changers for the alms givers. Oh, sure. But let's be real. They were doubtless sharking money. And dirty birds do flock together. Think about the combat zone in your own hometown. Do the pimps and hookers and dealers hang out in separate zip codes? Hell no. They know about synergy. People tend to want to get high and get laid at the same time. And that's why there are ATMs and dive bars and casinos, isn't it? So you betcha when JC threw open the temple doors, ready to kick ass and take names, he wasn't facing mere payday loan dweebs with eye shades and sleeve garters. No, he was throwing down with a full complement of societal scum. And pimps and sharks and dealers tend not to run in fear just because some guy puts on a mean face and tells them to get lost. You've got to know there was a world-class Donnybrook in that temple with smashed noses, teeth kicked down throats, shattered jaws, etc. When JC finished with them, they looked like the bikers outside that bar in A Bronx Tale. No question, Jesus Christ was the first and ultimate warrior monk. I looked at that more closely in episode 75, The One Man Gang. That's at thatlarryshow.com in the March 2018 tab. Elsewhere, they are called ascetics, and through a combination of, fasting, prayer, abstinence, they can attain not only spiritual enlightenment, but were reputedly able to do things mere mortals could not. Why am I talking about this? Because there was a story recently about billionaire and Twitter founder Jack Dorsey, who is now doing some things very similar to what many ascetics have done to achieve their elevated states of consciousness. Dorsey allegedly eats just one meal a day and fasts all weekend. He walks 5 miles to and from his office several days a week. Says it takes him about 75 minutes. He starts each day with an ice-cold bath, followed by meditation. At work, he uses a standing desk. According to the story I read, other tech titans are getting on the ascetic bandwagon, though none are calling it that. Maybe this is just another fad like keto or Sudoku or Zumba or dabbing or the mannequin challenge or yoga pants. But what if some of these guys, or even Jack, achieves the results some of those ascetics of the past have? Then what? It sounds like Dorsey's trying to live a quasi-monastic life, a life of denial, stoicism, scarcity, and sometimes self-inflicted pain. It was very popular in European monasteries in the Middle Ages and in the East, long time before that. Allegedly, that level of deprivation enabled some of these people to do extraordinary things, supernatural things. What kind of things? I'll circle back to that a little later in the show, and you may be amazed. I looked up the origin of the word ascetic, and it's from the Greek askeo, meaning to exercise or to train. The underpinnings of the life is a denial of physical and psychological desires that will enable you to achieve some spiritual goal. Do you think that's what Dorsey is after? I wonder, is he trying to atone for, or perhaps stealing himself for the karmic comeuppance he has in store for creating the monster that is Twitter? Though I do use Twitter, I sometimes find it, like all social media, a waste of time. And the name could not be more stupid. Sounds like it was chosen to attract preteen girls. Doesn't it sound infantile when you hear TV newsreaders say, "Prime Minister so-and-so tweeted," or "The President today tweeted"? I mean, the name could not be less manly. And most birds, except for crows and a few others, have bird brains and are really stupid. Really fucking stupid. I've seen them do some incredibly stupid shit. One time at a barbecue in the Hamptons, someone forgot a steak on the grill. It was too charred to be edible. And this seagull kept strafing that grill, trying to snatch the steak off it. Of course, the grill was sizzling. The coals were red hot. He probably made 20 passes until the imbecile finally just flat foot landed on it, scorching both his tootsies as he grabbed the steak. When he flew away, I could see the smoke and grill burns on his feet. He must have been in agony. He dropped the goddamn steak anyway. Meanwhile, a few hundred yards away was the bounteous Atlantic Ocean, filled with fish for the taking. I didn't feel sorry for the gull. He was a stupid, lazy fuck. And West Coast gulls are no smarter. In Malibu, I witnessed another gull picking at garbage in a can. As he did, he managed to get a plastic bag wound around one of his legs. When he finally dug deep enough to get what he was after in the trash, he took off, with a bag still dangling from his foot. He soon landed in the ocean. And when he did, the bag filled up, dragged him under, and drowned him. Again, there were schools of millions of anchovies there for the taking. But shithead preferred the ease of some maggot-covered, extra crispy KFC from a garbage can. But I digress. If Dorsey had called Twitter a bugler or trumpet or loudspeaker or digiblast, anything, that would have been a lot cooler. I'd much rather toot or blast than tweet. It's goofy. And look what it's done to our culture. People used to settle fights with fists or fencing foils or dueling pistols at dawn. Now, it's fucking sissified tweet wars, and they never, ever end. The whole idea of asceticism is truly fascinating. A susan of it could be the difference between success and failure. self-discipline, which is rooted in self-denial, is perhaps the most critical element of what makes one a success or a failure. Everything else, intelligence, creativity, natural ability, they all take a back seat to self-discipline. Comic Chris Rock once told an interviewer he was not the funniest guy in high school, but he worked harder at it than anyone else. People who work hard have self-discipline, and while they are working hard toward some goal, they are denying themselves the fruitless pleasures that losers cannot forego. And while Rock was working on his comedy, the other funny guys were maybe drinking or jacking to porn or playing video games. All fall under the banner of FWAT. What's FWAT, you ask? It's an acronym I coined in episode 72, Larry Warps Time. You can find it at the March 2018 link. Part of that show concerns how so many of us are Olympic-caliber time wasters. We squander the only truly non-renewable resource there is. And wasting time always goes hand in glove with a lack of self-discipline and ultimately failure. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. But we want it easy, don't we? Learning to play guitar is kind of hard work, even for the prodigies. I know a woman who went to school with Slash, said she never saw him even once without a guitar in his hand. A friend of mine is a world-class pianist. He's played for everybody, every megastar you could name. When he's not touring, he practices 11 hours a day. And it looks so easy. The Matrix is now 20 years old. I watched it again for the first time since its release. And it's a better movie than I remembered it being. And the premise was rooted in truth. While this life is no computer simulation, vast, vast numbers of people do live their lives in a matrix of sorts. The selfie matrix. A world so fucking insular and limited, they have no concept of anything beyond their own vanity and bodily functions. On the one hand, Neo is the embodiment of the warrior monk, but they fast-track his transformation with the convenience that's a byproduct of runaway technology, huh? Neo didn't need to spend years in a dojo learning martial arts. They simply downloaded it into his brain, which is kind of the way most of us want it. Look at all these assholes getting muscle implants, fake pecs, fake calves, or injecting themselves with that synthol shit to inflate their noodle arms. So much easier than spending years on a bench doing those curls and presses. So the foundations of ascetics are celibacy, fasting, meditation, abstinence, prayer, and the eschewal of worldly goods. Sometimes they throw in silence as well. Let's have a look at those things. How about we start off with silence? There's a lot to be said for that one. Hard as it may be to believe, when I'm not in front of this microphone, I can sometimes be quite taciturn. Maybe that's because I live with three women. They don't leave much silence to fill anyway. But what about the idea of a verbal fast? I kind of like that one, especially as it relates to the idea of that Greek root, to exercise or train. If we think back on our fuck-ups, usually we create them by running our own mouths. Silence can be powerful as hell. We're all programmed to respond to others' words, aren't we? We feel compelled to answer every question or comment or challenge that's thrown our way. But silence is its own answer, and it can be far more powerful than words. It's really handy for unnerving people. Keep silent long enough, they start to wonder if you might do something violent. JC was a fantastic debater. He never lost one. And one of his most compelling answers was no answer. Just read those Gospels. See how often they say, Jesus was silent. I get into that territory a lot with my other show, Sinner Sunday. Silence can be catnip to women. Drives them crazy. They can get all the mindless jabbering they need from their girlfriends. But some of them do prefer the strong, silent type. Even Confucius was hip to the value of silence with his great quotation, "It's better to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." Moose, the take-no-shit dojo guard dog, is the most charismatic bastard I know. Chicks can't keep their hands off him, and he is the living embodiment of the strong, silent type. Unless there's a reason, like somebody at the door or coyotes nearby, Moose never makes a sound. Does anyone like a barky dog? Fuck no. So maybe it's a good idea to just shut the fuck up for a few hours a week, or maybe one entire day a month. Exercise that quiet muscle. Now what about that celibacy stuff? Not the incel variety, we're talking voluntary celibacy. If you're trying to morph into a warrior monk, that's going to be impossible with a girlfriend. She will fuck up your fasting, drain your chi with sex, distract you from your meditations and prayer, and demand that you do speak once she gets over the strong silent phase of her attraction to you. Plenty of champion boxers, who are, I believe, the greatest athletes there are, they avoid women when in training. Women have no interest in making men spiritual warriors. At best, they want to make them fathers and partners. And at worst, well, remember what Eve did to Adam, and Delilah to Samson, and Salome to John the Baptist. The list goes on and on. Another thing champion boxers do is fast. They've got to make the weight class. A little starvation will increase your mean quotient. I believe that old troika, fat, dumb, and happy, is correct. And a certain path to complacency and mediocrity, if not outright failure. Think of the fatted calf, the fat cow, and so on. Nothing says prey, as in P-R-E-Y, like obesity. Are there any fat predators? No. And the moment a predator goes too fat, they become prey. Is any warrior monk fat, dumb, and happy? They tend to be shredded, smart, and on guard. Additionally, many fasters claim that abstention from food heightens mental acuity and sensory perception. Some claim it also leads to visions, but so can starvation. You gotta fast in moderation. It seems clear that skipping a few meals now and then is not a bad idea. Maybe a few days' worth with a good flush. Get all those toxins out of our system. Maybe our Western concept of 3 squares a day is flawed. A full belly does seem to foster lethargy. Some people believe we should just kind of snack or graze all day long. Keith Richards claims that's his secret of longevity. Now what about this meditation stuff? A lot of people really, really dig it and say it has changed their lives. I've tried it a couple times, solamente. I don't think I ever got to the place where it's supposed to take you. Taking a serious class in it with an expert is on my list of things to do. But even if you strip away some elements of serious meditation, the breathing, the lotus position, the incense, we all need some form of it now, more than ever. Living in the 21st century exposes us to sensory overload as never before. And it's definitely fucking us up. It's as if we become afraid to be alone with ourselves. Every bar, restaurant, every public place is wallpapered with television screens. Even the tops of goddamn gas pumps. God forbid you get even 3 minutes of zero input while inputting your ride with gas. They want a share of your mind 24/7. It's insidious and insane. Everyone must be connected at all times. To what? A digital tit? Some unfortunates have been able to hear radio signals with their teeth fillings. Soon, we can all buy that level of torment, because Silicon Valley shitheads are working on a surgically embeddable phone that will beam data to the insides of our eyeballs so we'll never miss a fucking tweet. They say that will be available in 3 short years. Oh boy. You know millions of imbeciles will line up for that gizmo and the surgery for the convenience. But hey, I got off track from meditation. We all desperately need to unplug, tune out. I used to work with a woman who was really into convenience. She had masseuses and maids and personal shoppers and life coaches and manicurists and chakra adjusters. A coworker once commented that she wouldn't be happy until she could pay somebody to take a shit for her. Seems like we're headed that way. In the 21st century Western culture, asceticism has become not only arcane, but maybe reviled. In fact, there is an excuse and a coddling now for every failing and weakness of character. Addictions to booze, drugs, porn, food were once considered weaknesses, character flaws to be conquered. Who doesn't want to sit on their ass all day eating, drinking, and watching porn? But somehow, these excesses have been reclassified as diseases. Not so sure about that one. How does that work? Drinking is a choice, unlike cancer or Alzheimer's or any true disease. No booze, no disease. Doesn't work that way with smallpox or stroke or TB. The last two pillars of the warrior monk are fascinating. Prayer and rejection of stuff. Let's look at stuff first. We all love stuff. I know I do. Guitars, pianos, a nice pair of new shoes, wheels. Oh, I love wheels. Shotguns, pistols, twin lens reflex cameras, fishing boats, a nice watch or two. Who doesn't? Was it some warrior monk who said, "You don't possess your possessions, they possess you"? Whoever said it, there's a ton of truth there. All the stuff we have requires more stuff, doesn't it? Fuel, maintenance, adjustments, repair, accessories, power, insurance. It's fucking never-ending. Mike Tyson was a hell of a warrior. And monk-like in only one way, a way that I always admired. While his opponents would enter the arena, riding in sedan chairs with dozens of lackeys and hangers-on and silk-quilted robes with gold thread and tassels on their boots, Iron Mike walked in there with a towel over his head with a hole cut in it and his fists. That was all he needed. And usually he walked out with one more thing that he entered with. Another win. Worldly goods are wonderful, but now more than ever they've become the reason some people live. Fucking brands and logos and my ride has more horses than yours and square footage and my yacht sleeps 12 and on and on, and all of it is just future landfill. All of it. A warrior monk doesn't need stuff. All that he needs is within him. And now for the prayer thing. Well, it's a lot like meditation. Probably plenty of overlap there. Probably best practiced under the same circumstances, huh? A quiet place with solitude, no distractions. Churches are perfect for it. Beaches and forests are good too. But if you need to connect badly enough, a freeway overpass would do. More prayers are probably said on battlefields and in hospitals than any place else. So necessity really is a mother. And what have some of these warrior monks been able to do after all that celibacy and fasting and meditation and abstinence and prayer and rejection of stuff? There was a guy in Italy during the Second World War. They called him Padre Pio. Many, many witnesses said they saw him bilocate. He'd be saying Mass in the church, and at the same time, sitting in the co-pilot's seat in a bomber. Stuff like that. Others have been said to shapeshift, demonstrate clairvoyance, do astral projection, even levitation. St. Teresa of Avila was witnessed levitating on multiple occasions. In The Matrix Reloaded, Neo just blasts off like Superman, doesn't he? Or was it the Flying Nun? Who can say? So what's the takeaway? I don't imagine Jack Dorsey will be seen volplaning around the Bay Area. However, he probably has significantly de-stressed himself and is adding some years to his life. My bet is some smartass, like the guys that cooked up Pilates or Zumba or Tai Bo, one of those guys, will cook up a regimen based on warrior monks, syndicated in gyms around the world, and make a shit pile of money, peddling principles that have been around almost forever. Now I'm going to shapeshift myself into a poodle mix and hang out with Moose for a while. We don't say anything to each other. We leave that to the chicks. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you here at the Take No Shit Dojo, strategically located at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. Skip over to thatlarryshow.com for more content and click one of those subscribe buttons, Android, Apple, whatever, and snap that Patreon button to help us keep the lights on while opening the vaults of bonus episodes available only to patrons. Come back and hang with us this weekend for Sinner Sunday. It's good for what ails you. You'll see. And until that time, take no shit.